This individual is your son's idol. I said, you need to find somebody else to worship. Hey, folks, that's what you do with an idol. You worship them, all right? You worship that individual. Some people worship themselves. It's all about self. And then some people worship God, right? Now, the problem is many in our day worship a false god, because the God they worship is not the God of the Bible. Not the God of the Bible. And by the way, just because somebody says God, don't assume it's the God of the Bible. And don't be led astray. I didn't really plan to say this, but don't be led astray by folks today that said, well, everybody's worshiping the same God. We call him by different names. That is not true. Okay? That is not true. If you can't figure it out any other way, there's only one God that had a son. There's only one God that had a son that sent that son to die on the cross for mankind. Hey, and the rest of them didn't do that, so don't tell me they all worship the same God. We don't, all right? We don't all worship the same God. In our day, the problem is people confuse worship with religion. And they get it mixed up. They think, well, religion is worship. Well, yeah, but, all right, it's not worshiping God. But religion is a thing. Hey, scriptural worship is bound up with a relationship with the God of the Bible. That's what scriptural worship is. If there is no relationship, there's no real worship. There's no real relationship. I don't believe there's any real worship. Just the fact that somebody shows up, you know, and shows up at church and said, well, they worship. Well, not necessarily. They don't have a relationship with that God, all right? On the other hand, religion is man's response to the desire and the need that he has to worship. It's man's response. And that's why I say to you and took you to Scripture tonight, I believe Cain's the guy that invented religion. He's the one that brought it about. Hey, there's no doubt he believed in God. Don't doubt that for one moment. Cain was no atheist, okay? He wasn't an atheist. His problem was, though, that he had his own ideas about God and how to approach God. And that leads to religion, okay? Because, hey, that really and truly, that's the very basic tenet of religion. It's how I want to come to God. But our God in the Bible has laid down a careful, complete, and compelling direction about how we're to come to him and how we're to worship him. It is not just left up to us. Religion, though, says, I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way. I'm going to worship the way I want to worship. That's religion, all right? That's religion. Hey, that's Cain. That's Cain. Take your Bible. You don't have to lose your place here, but let's go all the way to the next to the last book in the Bible, the book of Jude, all right? Jude chapter 1. If you get to chapter 2, you've gone too far, all right? By the way, if you have chapter 2 in your Bible, get another Bible, all right? There's only one chapter in the book of Jude, all right? But I want you to just look at one verse with me, all right? Here's the scripture that's given to us, all right? In Jude, verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They've gone in the way of Cain. You said, who? Well, verse 10 says, these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves. Hey, that's man's way. The Bible said that's the way of Cain. He said, you watch out, woe unto them that go in the way of Cain. He said, but what's wrong with the way of Cain? Number one, it was feeling over faith. It was feeling over faith. Now, I don't know how many times I've had people say something like this to me. Well, I just feel like God, and then they proceed to tell me their own take and their own opinion on some facet, if you will, of religion. And it's there, and it's, well, I think God. Okay, wonderful. It's okay, think whatever you want to. But the truth of the matter is, it's not what I think, okay? It's not the way we feel, all right? It's not the way we feel. Now, that was Cain's way. Cain's way, it was, you know, he felt, it was what he felt over what faith in the clear will of God said. It was over, you said, well, how do we know he knew it? Well, how did Abel know? How did Abel know? Listen, Cain and Abel grew up in the same house, okay? Or if you prefer, the unscientific way of saying it, in the same cave, all right? Hey, they grew up together, same home, same home. They heard the same account of what had happened to mom and dad. I believe Adam carried both of them down to the Garden of Eden and showed them, there's the angel standing there. He won't let us back in. They saw that. They saw that. Hey, that's why I say to you, Cain was not an atheist, okay? He wasn't an atheist. He knew what was right, but he went by his feeling, all right? His feeling. If you're going to have a relationship with the God of the universe, it's got to be by faith. It's got to be by faith. That's what he has decreed. That's what he has laid down. That's why the book of Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith. The Bible says two places now the just shall live by faith. Not feeling. Not feeling. By faith. Not by your experience. Not what you feel. A lot of people today, they say, well, I had this experience. Well, good. Good for you. I dreamed a dream. But I'm not going to get up here and preach it to you. All right? Some of them seem real. Some of them seem very real. But I'm not going to get up here and preach that to you. Well, I had a dream. Good for you. Good for you. Listen, preacher, you got to understand, I had this experience. Okay. So what? Doesn't matter what kind of experience we've had. It's not our feeling. It is to be based upon faith. We need to grasp that fact. Hey, Cain felt good about what he had offered God. I believe Cain went through the garden that morning. I believe he looked around. He felt for the best. He found the best stuff that looked. And I've heard people give all kind of illustrations. I don't know what he gave. I don't know if he brought rutabagas or some of y'all don't even know what a rutabaga is, all right? But I don't know if that's what he brought, if it's bell peppers or it's carrots or onions. I don't know. But he bought the fruit of the ground, all right? Bought the fruit of the ground. We know that. He felt good about his offering. Hey, I can't help but draw a parallel today. People today are looking for something that'll make them feel good. We're looking for something that'll make us feel good. Let me say this to you. Religion is good at making folks feel good. It is good at making you feel good. There's a lot of people that engaged in religion today. They went to church. They sang. They may have raised their hands. They may have swayed. All right? They may have come by the offering plate, flipped a dollar or two in there. They may have said the speaker gave a very uplifting talk, made me feel better about myself and my life. And I'm just telling you, I feel good. That's what I'm going for. That's what I'm going for. Man, it's 40-plus years ago. I was down here on Dunson Street visiting somebody that had visited our church, and his sister-in-law was there. And I don't even know how the conversation came up, but she jumped in and she said, man, I am just not going to church where the preacher yells at you. I don't want that. I don't want that. And later on, I found out a little more about her. That's what she needed, okay? She needed, but what she wanted was somebody to make her feel good. Make her feel good. Hey, it's not about your feeling. Can I say this to you? Old Cain would fit in good with that crowd today because he felt good. He felt good, all right? He felt good. You be careful. Faith, it's not feeling, it's faith. Feeling religion, feeling over faith. The second thing I want you to see with old Cain, it was try over trust. Cain's whole religion had a basic tenet. It was work, and it was all about human effort. It's what I can do. Hey, man, hey, preacher, I'm doing the best I can. I don't know how many times people say that. With Cain, it was, hey, look what I brought. Look what I brought. I mean, it's the best. I worked hard to raise this, and I killed the bugs, didn't let them get to the plants, and I did my best to raise the best, and this is the best that was. I did it. Hey, that's the way of all religion. All religion's about what you do, what the individual does. I said this many prayers, or I stacked up this many stones. You said, where? In pagan faith. In pagan faith, they do that, and I've got this many flags fluttering, okay? Pagan faith. But it's religion. It's about what I can do, all right? It's work hard. It's do your best and then hope for the best. Hope for the best. Hey, what the thing that differentiates biblical Christianity from just about every world religion and a lot of what passes for Christianity today is salvation is predicated on faith, not your effort. It is not what you can do. Man, if it's what you can do, that's totally contrary to the Bible. Look in Titus chapter 3. There in the New Testament, Titus chapter 3, after 1 and 2 Thessalonians and 1 and 2 Timothy, is the book of Titus. And Titus chapter 3. Don't just notice. Notice what this verse says, okay? Notice what it says. Man, how much plainer could God have put it for us, okay? Titus chapter 3, it says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hey, it's what he did. It's what he did for us. That's it. It's not about us trying. It's about us trusting. About us trusting. When we go out and we knock on doors, what we do is we don't talk. Most people, I'll talk to them. I ask people, listen, if you were to die, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? I asked a multitude of people. Multitude of people have said to me, yes, I think I would. And I just naturally say, well, what makes you think you would? What are you counting on? Why do you think you would? Not trying to be rude, but I'm just trying to do my best witnessing to folks. And invariably, it is, well, I try to be a good person. I've had people tell me that kind of thing. I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments, and I try to live right. I try to treat people right. And man, I say, that is wonderful. But that won't get you to heaven. And then the amazing thing is, I talk to people that go to church, and that's their answer. And then I look them in the eye and I say, if you can get to heaven by that method, then could you tell me why Jesus had to die? And honestly, from the look that comes over so many faces, I think it's the first time they've ever thought about it. The realization, huh? You got something there. I don't know. Hey, the truth is, it's not what we can do. It's trusting God and what he's already done. I mentioned Johnny Flanagan. Brother Flanagan was here in our church many times, and he sang, and he talked. His one song he wrote, he said, it's not a do-do-do. It's done, done, done. So I don't have a faith that makes me do and do and do. No, it's done. It's done. It is us coming to him, all right? By the way, that life of faith is one of trusting God as to what he will do as we serve and obey him, all right? Being a Christian, becoming a Christian is trusting him for what he's done. And just coming to him and asking him to forgive our sin, to save our soul, to give us that gift of salvation. And he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll call, he'll save you, okay? That's not religion. That's establishing a relationship with him, not on me trying to please him, but me just trusting him for what he's already done. And then after you get saved, the whole life is built, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. God wrote the Bible. He wrote the Bible so we could know how to be saved, but then he wrote it so we'd know how to live. We'd know how to live. And there's things in the Bible that are completely contrary to man's thinking. The Bible says the way up is down. The way to get is to give. That's totally foreign. Hey, by the way, and I don't mean the way to get is to give and send some massive offering to some radio or TV evangelist and God's going to fill your biffle. No, that's not what I'm talking about, all right? But the way to get is to give. The way up is down. Now, the Bible looks at that and the world looks at that, scratches their head and say, how can that be? That's faith and trust in God. Trust in Him. Not me trying to do my best, but me trusting God's best. That's what He's done. Hey, I'll tell you something about religion. It was unteachable, and it's intolerant. It's intolerant. Think about it with me, would you? There in Genesis chapter 4, the Lord God came back to Cain. He saw his face. He saw, hey, you're upset. Let me just talk to you. Let me counsel you a little bit. I can help you. And he did. He talked with Cain, and the deal was, look, Cain, if you do well, you'll be okay. You just need to do the right thing. And he didn't tell him what the right thing, because Cain already knew what the right thing was. And God just simply said, if you'll do the right thing, everything will be all right. It'll be right. You can fix this. Cain, what you've done, it's not unfixable. But you notice what Cain did. The next verse, Cain killed his brother. Cain killed his brother, all right? He wasn't willing to take counsel from God about the situation. He wasn't teachable. I'll tell you, some of the most difficult people to reach are people that are very religious. I've got my religion. Never forget, years ago, my wife and I went to visit her aunt. And my wife was concerned about her salvation, and she talked to her. And her aunt understood, and she said, you're talking about salvation? She said, yeah. And her aunt said to her, well, I'm going to stick with my religion. Hey, listen, it's hard to reach religious people. It's hard to reach religious people. You go to a place where they're very, very religious. You go into Nepal. You go over there. You deal with folks like that. Very religious people. Very religious people. Now, they're following a false religion, but they're very religious. It's hard to reach them. It's hard to reach them. You go to a place like Utah, where there are a great number of very religious people, but they don't worship the same Jesus you and I do. You said, yeah, they do. No, they don't. They worship a Jesus that's the brother to Satan. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's just not, okay? Not trying to be harsh. Sometimes those people, very hard to witness to, all right? Very hard to reach, all right? Well, why? They were like Cain. He wouldn't listen to that which was right and what would have made him right. And he was so intolerant that he went out and took the life of his own brother. Now, what had Abel done to him? Not one thing in the world. Not one thing in the world. But it was, hey, you made me look bad. I'll get rid of you. I'll just get rid of you. I'll be honest with you, there's nothing more intolerant than religion. There's nothing more intolerant. That's been proven down through history. Down through history has been proven. Now, a lot of people like to come to me and, when you witness to people, they say, well, yeah, but you Christians fought in the Crusades. I said, no. No, that wasn't us. Okay, you don't understand enough history. Okay, you don't understand enough history. Not at all. Hey, it was religion that caused a multitudes of believers to be burned at the stake, torn asunder, thrown to the lions. Okay, drowned, tortured in unimaginable ways. Multitudes, thousands and thousands, millions killed. Why? Because they wouldn't bow down and be religious. They had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion is very intolerant. I will remind you, it was religious folks that brought Jesus to be crucified. It was religious people that cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Hey, give me a choice, we'll take Barabbas. We don't want that guy. We don't want him. We don't want Jesus. give us Barabbas. Religious people. I'm telling you, religion can be very intolerant, all right? I could spend a long time right here and going down through history, but this is not a history lesson, okay? But intolerant folks. Hey, religion's still being used as an excuse today to kill and destroy in our world. Still being used. The whole deal of 9/11 is religion. It's religion. No, I mean, that's what it was. It's religion. It's that. There's war we don't hear about. You've got to go look for the data, but it's still going on today on a regular basis. You've got religions fighting in countries trying to kill one because, hey, you're not my religion. Hey, I'll tell you, we independent Baptist people, we Bible-believing people, we believe in religious freedom. We believe in that. And I've got the study to show you one of the reasons we in the United States are blessed to have the freedom we do is because of Baptist people. All right, Baptist people. Now, we don't believe in killing somebody. We don't believe in making converts at the end of a gun barrel, all right? Or the point of a sword. You can't do that, all right? You cannot do that. I've talked to people before, and I've witnessed to them, and I've said to them, look, I said, if I was younger, maybe I could knock you down, jump on you, twist your arm up behind your back, and put you in so intense pain, if I said, pray this prayer, you'd pray. But I said, it wouldn't do you any good. Wouldn't do you any good. Hey, it's the heart. The heart, the Bible said, with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But it's with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Hey, you can't just have it coming out of the mouth. We don't make converts that way, okay? We don't make converts that way. Religion is still used today, very intolerant. The last thing I want you to see is this, all right? Religion is all about reason over revelation. Reason over revelation. If somebody comes to you, if somebody comes to me and says, preacher, what do you believe? What do you believe? I can say this right here. It's right there. That's what I believe. I believe what's written right there. That's it. That's my faith. Every detail of it, it's in there. It is the only rule, all right? It is it, all right? Reason is not that. Reason is what man can figure out. It's what man can figure out. A lot of great intellects, very high intellectual people, have a hard time accepting Christ. Well, I just can't figure it out. Okay, you can't. I can't either, all right? But reason is what makes sense to the mind of man. Well, I figured it out. I've got it all partitioned out and, you know, partitioned. I've got everything in its place. I've got it all figured out, and that's it, all right? Hey, that was a problem. That was the situation with Cain. It was his reason. According to his reason, it was okay for him to bring what he brought. Now, I said to you, he'd been taught the same thing Abel had been taught. He had heard the same account of God killing that animal to clothe his parents when they were sinned and they were put out of the Garden of Eden. He understood. He knew what was required, but he thought, my way is better. My way is better. There are people today that don't like the biblical way of salvation. They say, you've got a bloody religion. I'm sorry, but the book says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no remission. It had to be that way. It takes that. But man, because he is a sinner, has this deep-held resentment against the authority of the revelation of God. That's why this book is hated in so many places. That's why it's hated, because it is the revelation of God. And people look at it and say, I don't like that. And down through the centuries, they've tried to get rid of it. It's been burned. It's been banned. Just over and over, all kinds of instances. Trying to get rid of this book, but it still stands. That's the reason today I'm convinced the devil has realized, okay, I can't totally get rid of it, so we're going to change it. We're going to change it. We'll just work on it, all right? And all the time there's a new translation coming out. New translation. I'm like the guy that says, you know what the standard is, though. You know the standard is old King James Bible. He said, how do you know that? Because that's the one they always compare the new one to. Always, man, hey, it's more accurate than that. It's more readable than that. It's truer to the original, which, by the way, nobody in our day's ever seen. Doesn't exist. Hey, I'm telling you, we don't want the revelation of God. If this book is the Word of God, then we're going to stand to give an account one day. The Bible says one day the books will be opened. You said, what book? Well, one's going to be the Lamb's Book of Life. Going to look to see if your name's there. But the other one, I believe, is going to be this book right here. One of those books, it's going to be this book. And what we're going to measure, our measurement's going to be, how do you measure up against this standard? How do you measure up? Hey, listen, I am not the standard. Nobody else in this room is the standard. Do not look at somebody in the world and say, well, I live better than they do. Well, everybody can probably find somebody that's true of. Well, I'm better than them. I'm better than him. I'm better than her. Wait a minute, that him or her is not the standard. The standard's right here. And when we start measuring our life, what we do is we let the light of this book shine on us, and it shows the defects. It shows where we need to work. It shows what we need to work on. It shows us what's wrong. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Just get the light of the Word of God on that problem. Hey, it's the revelation of God that makes the difference. It's not the reasoning power of God, okay? I mean, the reasoning power of man. It is the revealed Word of God. Nothing else will do to establish our relationship with Him. It's not a relationship we figure out. It's not a relationship we figure out. Now, I figure out a relationship sometimes with people. There are some people that will not allow you to get very close to them. You can't get very close to them. They'll hold you off. Okay, I understand that. And their relationship is only going to have to be right here on a very simple thing. You can't get close to them. They won't let you in their life. Okay. That's all the relationship I can have. It's an acquaintance. Somebody said, preacher, do you know so-and-so? Well, I know who they are. Do I know them? No. I've met them, but I don't know them. Don't know them. Now, other people, hey, I got to know them a little better. Never forget old Brother Hawkins. I don't know how many times he told me this, and he's alive. Brother Hawkins came to me, and he said, preacher, I swore up and down when I came to this church I was not going to get close to you. He said, I just swore up and down, not going to happen. I'm not going to let that happen. But he said, I did. I said, yeah, and you should. You should. Hey, look, you ought to let your pastor into your life. He ought to be in your life, okay? If you've got an area of your life you've got to shut him out of, then something's wrong with that area, okay? It's just not right. Just not right. But hey, we developed a great relationship. Man, I love that guy. I still miss him. He would be the first one to church, usually all the time. A lot of times I drive up and I still find myself looking for his vehicle. All right, and I know it's not going to be here because he's already moved, okay? But I know that, all right? Hey, but you got that relationship. Some people won't let you have that relationship. But man, the relationship we have with our God is not based on the way we want it. It's Him. We have to come His way. His way. That's the difference between our faith and religion. Cain started what multiplied millions of people today. Observe, they're religious. They're religious. But they're lost. They have no hope of eternal life. Hey, they don't even have a confidence they're going to heaven. They don't have that confidence. I want to tell you, don't be tempted to follow religion. Here's a problem. Here's what I see happen. Okay? Here's what I see happen to a lot of Christians. Our experience doesn't match what we think it should. Okay? Now, I want to be gentle with you here, and I mean this with all my heart. Your experience in life and your experiences in life may not always match what you think or you want it to be. But that doesn't change the truth of the Bible. You said, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" I'll give you numerous illustrations. I can talk to you about people I know that had a little child develop a dread disease and passed away. Passed away. They died. And they got very bitter. Because they looked at it and they said, that shouldn't have happened. That shouldn't have happened. And it becomes, God, why did you do that to me? You see, our experience doesn't match the way we think things ought to be. Doesn't match that. There are times that I see people that are serving God, and I see they've reached maybe 90 years old and they're serving God, and the thought for an instant crosses my mind, okay, God, why did my dad die at 83 then? But wait a minute. That's God's business. That's God. Hey, I not only have seen that happen, but I've seen children. They may be grown or whatever, but I've seen children, a parent dies, and they get bitter against God. They get bitter against God. They quit going to church. They quit serving God. Listen, I've known preachers that got mad, quit serving God, fell out. It's not, I don't want you to think it just happens to the layman. No, it happens to a lot of people. You say, what happened to them? What happened to them is their faith and their reason didn't match up with their experience. Okay? Their experience, and they began to judge things based on their experience and what they think. When you do that, that's religion. That's religion. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. Either we trust God or we don't. Either we trust God or we don't. All right? I mean, it's just that plain. And if we trust Him, we work to keep our relationship right. He said, well, preacher, is it okay to ask why? Sure is. Sure is. But realize this, God may not tell you here. God may not tell you here why things happen. You may have to wait a while. You may have to wait a while. But it doesn't mean you quit trusting God. Doesn't mean that at all. Hey, we keep serving Him. Stay with the Scripture. Don't be tempted to pull aside from your faith and say, well, I'm quitting. Wait a minute. It's not because your experience. It's not based on your experience. It's not based on my experience. I've known people that went through unbelievable experiences. But they never wavered in their faith in God. I can't help but think of Brother Bishop. Brother Bishop at Triple S Youth Camp, he's the man God used to start that youth camp. I've never met a man so humble and so I remember hearing Brother Vineyard say that Brother Bishop's the best Christian he's ever known. The very first year we went to Triple S, Brother Bishop, man, was lively, full of life, full of vim and vigor, and he's out there on the basketball court running up and down with those kids, and he could stay right with them. And everything was right on top, man. His mind was sharp as it could be. The next time we went to camp, he almost didn't recognize the same man, because he had had a disease attack his body and his brain. And when he speaks now, he almost speaks like a child. Like a child. Doesn't say complete sentences because his mind doesn't work that way anymore. But I'll never forget kneeling beside him and listening to him pray one time. And I'll never forget him saying, "God, I not blame you for what happened to me." Hey, we was on shouting ground, buddy. I had prayed before Brother Bishop. I was praying with him. Brother Bishop was praying. Then Brother Scott Trangmar was praying. I told Brother Trangmar after we left that morning from the prayer meeting, I said, "Brother, if I'd have been you, I'd have just said, 'God, what he said, I'd like to say amen.'" And that would have been it. Never heard such a humble prayer. He had to learn to read all over. He didn't know his wife was his wife. He had to be taught that. Man, he's had experiences, but his faith never wavered. Never wavered. Hey, it's not our experience, folks. Listen, we're not religious people. We're people that have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Relationship with him. Remember what I said this morning about Martha? And what the Bible says that she said when Jesus came. Remember how she said it? Hey, Lazarus died. Lazarus was a young man from all of our accounts, what we understand. And when Jesus showed up finally, they had sent word to him that he was sick. And she said, "Now, Master, I know if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died." Hey, that's faith. That's a relationship. Religion would have said, "Why did you let that happen? Why did you let that happen?" Do you understand the difference? Oh, what a difference. Cain, he started religion, a lot of religious people. I'm not much on religion, but I do encourage you to have the best relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ you can. And if you do, it is going to have to be on the premises right here in this book. Right here. It's not what I say. It's not what any man says. It's not what some other guy says. It's what this book says. And if we come to him, we've got to come the way he says it. We don't get to do it, "Well, I'd like to do it my way." Well, you can't. Cain said, "Look, my veggies ought to be good enough." The Lord said, "Nope, won't work. I won't take it. Won't take it." Hey, Cain went on his way, never repented, never got right. But he was religious. He was religious. Hey, what are you holding on to today? Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Or would you help us to see it's about our relationship with a real, living God? It's about how much we've walked with him and how much, Lord, that we have developed that relationship. We've come your way, Lord. We come to you on your terms. We don't come on our terms. We come the way you would have us to come. And Lord, we're to live the way you say to live, not the way we think is okay, but what you say. Lord, help us to be folks that examine the scriptures.